Well, good morning. It's good to see you. I mean it. Knowing that some of you will have had a bit of a journey to get here, but nonetheless, good to be together in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are remembering those who can't be with us for all kinds of reasons, and trust that the Lord is meeting with them as we meet together in this way. It was a snowy day, and the young man was in his late teens, and he normally went to church some distance from where he lived. But on this day, it was a snowy day, so he couldn't. So he decided he would walk to his nearest church, and that is what he did. The preacher couldn't turn up that day, and so an old man who couldn't preach then filled the pulpit, got up and said something. He couldn't say very much, but he kept saying the same thing to the young man, who obviously stuck out like a sore thumb. Young man, look to Christ. Young man, look to Christ. And C.H. Spurgeon, who was that young man, looked to Christ that day, was forgiven of all his sins, and entered into joy that he had never known before. She stood in the beautiful garden that was their home. Location, location, location. Life was so very good, and all was perfect peace. Then a voice, in gentle tones, and apparently full of love, said, "If you keep on obeying God, you will never be happy as much as I can make you happy." Fear gripped her heart, and the thought that all the peace that she enjoyed with her husband was a lie. It wasn't true. So with defiant autonomy, she reached out for freedom from God and ate the fruit. And Adam, who was her husband, also joined her in the thrill of that rebellion. And I'm sure it was a thrill. Oh, the happiness of living independently of God. Oh, the happiness of following somebody other than God. Because you can't be happy obeying God, can you? The same lie permeates human life. Of course, the consequences of believing that lie was for Adam and Eve, and then us who have followed, guilt, shame, anger, and relational tension. So the same lie still permeates human life. Evil still whispers us to us, even possibly listening to God's word. If you obey God and follow Jesus as Lord, you will never be happy again. And the pressure from the church, from the world, upon the church that says, join in our independent happiness of God. You're living such a narrow life. Two things to say this morning. Number one, Hugh Burroughs encouraged me to extend my sermon this morning, but I'm not going to do that. I've taken pity upon you. I can see you more closely than normal. Yes, indeed. I'm looking good, aren't I, Steve? Thank you, Steve. So are you, by the way. Two things to say. Jesus lived joyfully for God. Jesus speaks about the fullness of his joy in verse 13. He says, let me just quote it to you again. "I'm coming to you now," he's speaking to the Father, "but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the fullness of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, any more than I am not of the world. Jesus speaks of the fullness of his joy whilst he is still in the world. And the ultimate joy for Jesus was the Father himself. And Jesus has stated, I'm coming home. Yet he says all these things whilst in the world. Jesus lived out his relational identity in a world that hated him and rejected him. So what was the joy that Jesus knew in God? What do these things refer to? Two possible possibilities, and they are connected. These things that he mentions in verse 13 could be, of course, the things he's praying about in John 17. And what is the prayer of John 17 all about? It is the joy of the Son's intimacy with God the Father. Keeps on talking about that relationship and that intimacy of relationship. So the prayer is showing the intimacy that through him his followers would have. And they would have this relationship with God the Father because of the cross. So in John chapter 20 and verse 17, after the resurrection, Jesus meets Mary and talks about your Father and my Father, your God and my God. The intimacy that the Son had whilst on the earth is the same intimacy that you and I can have with the Father through the Son whilst we live on this earth. So John 17, these things, look at the intimacy you and I can have with the Father. The Son displays it in prayer. And ultimately, my friends, it's the prayer life that really shows us where it is all at. When we close the door and nobody else is seeing, and we get alone and we switch everything else off, and in the solitude, is Jesus enough? Is the Father enough? Well, these things could refer, secondly, to the teaching of John chapter 14 through 16. And what Jesus underlines there is the joy of a flourishing and fruitful life. A flourishing and fruitful life lived in obedience to God out of love. And Jesus refers to himself in those ways. He says in chapter 15, that vine branch kind of passage, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So the Son, out of love, always obeyed the Father. It is one of the great awesome miracles, the Lord Jesus Christ becoming a human being and being the servant of the Lord. And he always knew joy, even in the hard times, even under temptation, even though the world hated him and rejected him. His joy was not linked to the world and how it would treat him and its approval. The man of extreme, perfect obedience stood where Adam had stood and failed, but this man succeeded. And this man, Jesus, threw the lie back at Satan. A human being can only be happy forever in obeying God. That is the life of Jesus. And for 33 years he lived it in this world. And so that was his flourishing and fruitful life as a man. And I say to you, my friends, yes, there is an intimacy of knowing God the Father, but as we remain in his love and we seek to obey what he says through the Lord Jesus helping us and by the power of the Spirit, so we also know a flourishing and fruitful internal life. So our joy is in Christ. We need to say that afresh to ourselves this morning. Because Jesus lived joyfully to the Father. And therefore he speaks in John 17, or prays in John 17, these things while I'm still in the world, so that these disciples will hear his joy and understand the full measure of that joy which is in God the Father, loving God the Father, and obeying God the Father. And remember, these disciples were going to see Jesus crucified. These disciples were going to walk to the home to the Emmaus Road, depressed and sad, saying, we had hoped that this one would be the deliverer. There would appear at the cross no victory or glory. We have sung movingly of the cross today, haven't we? Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day. Yet it's the most glorious day, where the Son in love went in obedience to the Father to make you and me happy. The cross was not a joy to the Son in that sense. He would pray that it would be removed from him. He did not want to enter in to become sin for us and know the justice of God in all its fullness on his life. There was no joy there. But he went there to make us happy. Christ lived joyfully to God. That's the first point. Second point, already. Number two, we are to live joyfully for Christ and joyfully in Christ. Jesus speaks his words out so that all his followers might have, note verse 13, the full measure of his joy within. And Jesus explains what that is. He says to the Father, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Jesus wants his disciples not only to see his intimacy with the Father and his loving obedience of the Father, which has brought great happiness to him, but he wants us to understand through his words that same joy is now for us while we're in the world. I'm looking forward to going home to be with Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing the new creation in all its brilliance. Aren't you? It'd be nice if it was today and there'd be no more snow. And what a praise and prayer evening we would have, wouldn't we? But that's not where we are, is it? And some of us may be feeling anguished in our hearts and pain in our souls and struggling with the world we live in. And I have to say to you, this word is for us. We have the words of Christ written down in the New Testament by the people who heard his words. And they are true words. I would suggest to you, my friends, that we cannot know real joy in Christ if we don't have a high view of the Bible. What brings us to TCM Sunday by Sunday? Well, there could be lots of reasons. But I think, if I understand TCM properly, which I may not, it's because we love the Word of God. And through the Word of God, we come to know God through His Son. And we live in a world that doesn't want Jesus and rejects Jesus. Yes, it does. And sometimes it rejects us too. But our joy is in Christ, who died for us, who rose again for us, who reigns for us now, and is coming back for us. So Jesus sees our identity as following him as Lord. And key to living out of that identity is to accept his words and obey him as Lord through them. And there will be times, like I said last week, that identity is unwanted. Last week, if you weren't here, I was saying sometimes I didn't want to be a grandfather to my grandson when I was tired. And of course, I would want to sit in my chair and drink my coffee and read my book. He wanted to play football. I like football, but not when I'm tired. And I could sit there saying, well, yes, I would like to really love all of this, but hopefully that will work it out. But it doesn't. You see, the identity is for the road. I can sit and say to God, I want joy in you. And I just want to sit here and, you know, feel the vibes, Lord. And maybe he sometimes will give us true vibes of joy while we sit. But the identity is for the journey. For getting off your seat. And living in obedience to Jesus. And so when I got off my seat and went to play football with my grandson, when I put my identity into action, that's when everything changed. The tiredness fell away. Very interesting. Squeals of delight from the grandfather. Well, maybe not squeals. See, it's the lie, isn't it? You put Jesus first, says evil. You'll live such a narrow life and you'll miss out on so much. It's a lie. The truth is this. You can only be truly happy, even in this world, when you obey God and love Christ. That's how it works. And the Son personified that. And we will be very wise people who follow him. You see, that's missional identity. It is a missional identity. Must not be lost. Which is why in verse 15, he continues to pray that God doesn't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one, from the lies of the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. See, it's a missional identity. We lose this identity. Then I say to you, my friends, not only do we not know a real internal happiness, but the world doesn't hear the good news about Jesus. And the world doesn't see the good news about Jesus. That in obeying Christ, there is happiness. What did you do at the weekend? I went to church. Well, it snowed. Yes, I know. But I still went. Because I could get there. Oh, you poor Christian. You have to go to church. Well, I hope you don't think you're a poor Christian because you have to come to church. Could you not say something in reply? I don't know what it could be. Well, it's all about Jesus in my life and I want to know him. And I love being amongst people who want to know him too. And it's the joy of the week. Let's be countercultural, TCM. Let our Sundays be the joy of our week. Yeah, thank God for the rest of the days of the week. And, you know, going to watch Lincoln win and beat Grimsby 3-1. And Ireland winning the Grand Slam. And, you know, yeah, this is it. We're going now. And, oh, you can have all that stuff. But it's all passing. It's all fades. Let us be countercultural. Let us put on our missional identity that says to the people around us, not in any kind of arrogance or unkindness, but joy is obeying Jesus. And let us thrust the lie back at Satan when he says to us in the quietness of our lives, if you follow God, you'll never be happy again. And Jesus' concern for our missional identity enables him to pray for our protection, or ask God to pray for our protection, our loyalty to Christ. It's not our physical safety that he's so concerned about, but our identity protection, the joy of intimacy with God, and a fruitful life of obedience in Christ is utterly critical. And we're to live on this truth. He says this truth while he's still here. You notice that? He expected his disciples then to live on the truth. He expects you and me, who now have this truth written down, to live on this truth too. I was with the Ladies' Fellowship on Tuesday. It's always a delight to go into the Ladies' Fellowship on Tuesday. They get me, which is always helpful. And they don't mind having me, which is also good. Though there was no cake. By decreed by somebody who I don't know. I don't want to name any names. You know, new leader. But No. Moving on. Psalm 119, verses 17 to 24. You can read them at your leisure. The psalmist knows his identity. He is the servant of the Lord. Says it twice. But he's also in a situation of great hostility. People are pouring scorn and contempt on him because he is a follower of God. They're slandering him. They're putting him under great pressure. He feels a resident alien spiritually. And he prays, "Be generous to your servant, that your servant might live and obey your word." Don Carson is a preacher who has had great influence for God, has written many books, and I'm thankful to him myself. A few years ago, he was seriously ill, and people were asking him to pray that God would preserve him and he would continue to use his gifts in this world for the sake of the kingdom. And Don was persuaded to pray along those lines. This is what he prayed. "Lord, please, if it is your will, preserve my life. But if you preserve my life, will you please make sure I stay absolutely faithful to you?" Under hostility, it's not an easy place to live. But the psalmist in Psalm 119 could say that his delight was in the Lord and that the word of the Lord was his reliable counselor under pressure. Where does your mind go when it goes under pressure? Where does mine go? When evil is whispering and saying, "If you obey God at this point, you will be unhappy." Where does your mind go? Where does my mind go? Does it go back to the reliable counsel of the Word of God? Or not? We are a people, therefore, who are not only to be united, display the oneness of the Father and the Son, but we are also to be a delighted people, who know the full measure of the joy of Christ living in our lives. And joyful people are very hard to divide. If you leave here believing that you have to try harder and do better, you've missed the whole thing. We never said it. We said that Jesus lived for us and died for us joyfully to the Father in order to make us happy, to give us a gift we couldn't earn. And our response to that then is in love to obey God the Father through God the Son by the power of the Spirit. That's what we said today. That's what you should be taking home. Okay? Just so we're clear. "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen."